This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Good morning. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is WILL AM 580 for Wednesday morning. It's the 16th day of September. Checking now what's been happening in Chicago with the numbers of the trade. December contract down 3 cents in the corn pit at $3.87.5. The March in the agriculturals at $3.99, down 2.75. And May corn at $4.06, down 3. July 2.75 lower at $4.10.75. And December contract at $4.08.75, down 2.25. November beans are up 3.25 at $8.92.25. January at $8.95.25, up 3 cents. And the March at $8.97, 3.5 higher. May up 3.5 at $8.98.25. And November beans at $8.85.5, up 3.25 cents. That all in the bean pit. October bean meal at $3.19.20, 60 cents higher. Bean oil down a nickel at $26.42. Soft red winter wheat is a nickel lower at $4.89.75. In the December, July down 6 at $5.05.75 for the soft red. That's for next year. And the hard red next year, July, down a nickel as well at $5.21.25. Live cattle futures are about $1.67.5 lower in the October. December, down around $1.50. Feeder cattle are $2.77.5 lower at $195.55 in the September. October, down $3.20 at $189.55. And lean hogs for the day are 20 cents lower at $69.17.5. We're joined now by Jackie Vick. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County to take a look at the marketplace and talk about some of the numbers, including the FSA figures, which were released all not that long ago, just after 9 o'clock this morning. Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning. Before we get to what's happened in Chicago, FSA did update some acreage figures this morning. This is an unofficial official report, I suppose. We actually just get the Excel spreadsheet and we have to look it up ourselves. What they show.
Yeah, that's exactly the truth all the way around. You know, I think the one thing that it pointed out more than anything is that when you look at the major states for corn, there wasn't nearly as many prevented plant acres as a person might have expected it to be. Beans didn't come in a whole lot different than what they thought it was going to be. The prevented plant number on beans last month was at 2.17 million, and this month is at 2.219 million, so not a whole lot of difference. Corn went from 2.3 to 2.351, and so in general, it doesn't look like, you know, it looks like we're crawling our way there is what we're doing. We've got 84.2 as far as reported acreage goes for corn, and 80.688 for beans. Typical for an for a September report, early reporting, basically. That's why, you know, years ago we never got any of this information until we actually got through the October report, because it takes that long a lot of times to get things. And there's so many, you can pay a fee and not have to report. There's just so many things that a person can do. You can apply for an extension and not have to report. And so I don't think most people do that, but it does sometimes make a difference as far as what is happening out there and the numbers that we actually get. I mean, if you looked at this morning, how much, I don't know how much confidence I have in FSA when they can release last year's report for today, you know, and then have to come back and correct it. That just makes me very nervous all the way around.
Well, it's not an official report, so I think that's probably, they don't go through all of the rigors that they would for a USDA crop production report. And I think maybe from their perspective, because this was a Freedom of Information Act report that was pushed forward by folks like myself, I suppose. I wasn't in on this, but I think it was DTN asked that they see these numbers so they get a better handle before they, because everybody wants information prior to the October report if they can.
Sure.
They're doing what they normally would, which is, here's the report, here's the Excel spreadsheet, you figure out what it means.
Yep.
And it's raw data, so you have to understand that it's raw data. So and it really, the report itself doesn't include everything, is the other important note, I suppose, from the USDA's or from the FSA figures that were released this morning. It's only those acres that are reported. as you made note.
Right.
And even then, if you're not in the farm program at all, you're not reporting numbers. So the numbers we get today and the numbers that come out from USDA in the October report will be different as well. So all those things have to be put into place. Is there any indication, do you suppose, that the soybean numbers factually will really change for acreage when we get to the October crop production and WASDE figures?
I don't think it'll be significant if it does change. You know, it. This, in fact, there's 13 more days of data already, because this is as of September 3rd is what this report actually is. And so, you know, I don't know. I think most guys who had prevented plant have already reported. And so I think that if the acreage changes, it'll be not failed acres, but just regular acres, basically. So, you know, you're right. I think in general, because this is forced on them, you know, they're not gonna hammer to put everything in here that they have to, because it is not an official report. And so it's always just been a guideline. USDA always used it for a guideline as we went forward.
And probably should be for everybody else. I suppose the big news is that it changed, it upped acreage by about 45 to 50,000 in both corn and soybeans. Not a big change for anybody. And I don't think anybody was expecting too much different, just a number that came. So how about taking me through some of the things you're watching maybe in the charts? Have you been watching moving averages and other things that producers can think about to give them an idea now as they're really beginning to get into the combine cabs and beginning to harvest both corn and soybeans? Moving averages probably are something they might want to pay attention to.
Oh, they might. They need to watch them closely. I mean, when you look at December right now, DEIS is trading between the 50 and the 100-day moving average. And in fact, since I wrote this down, we're actually right down at the 100-day moving average. So I'd say if we have a breakout, it's going to be it'll have to be above 394. If we're going to break lower, it's going to be a close below the 100-day moving average in the 388 area. When you look at November beans, you know, the 20-day moving average on November beans right now is 880 and a quarter. I would say a breakout area is going to be that 994 and a half. And if you look, 994 and a half is where we went to today and then backed off of. $9, I believe, is going to be pretty strong overhead resistance. I think we'll see. You know, South America has been really big sellers of new crop beans, and I think that, you know, at $9, they may just come back in and sell some more. You look at wheat. 20 days at 488 and 5/8. You know, it's going to take a trade above that 50 or a close above 503 and a quarter. We went up to 503 today. So we're definitely testing. You know, this market is trying to find out what do we really want to do and why is it trading the way it is. I mean, in general, somebody looks at it and goes, how fundamental is most of the trade that's going on here? And it doesn't seem to be. It's more money movement. It's more funds. Funds came in and were big buyers after the report last week. To try and basically defend positions. And so, you know, if you look at the fund position, yesterday they added 7,000 contracts to the long side of corn, but they're only 66,000 long on corn right now. They were as high as 216,000 long. And they added 6,000 to their short position in beans yesterday. So they're 7,000 short in beans, 40,000 short in wheat. And so in general, I think that this is just all about trying to position themselves. You know, and the closer we get to the grain stocks report, the more positioning that will go on. You know, that report will give us a better idea of how much grain is still in the country. And, you know, and then we'll trade off of that until the October report.
That'll give us an ending stocks figure for the current marketing year. So we'll be looking forward to that. That's the last day of September, the 30th day. That report comes out, and then, of course, we have the October crop report numbers for production and WASDE figures. I look forward to talking with you more about all of those again this afternoon during the closing mark report. Thanks so much today.
Oh, thank you, Todd. Have a great one.
You
See ya.
Too. That, of course,
Bye-bye.
Is Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Mid-Morning Market Report for Wednesday. This is the 16th day of September, on our way to sunny skies and 83 degrees today. Tonight, clear, a low of 61. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 86. And then things begin to turn. Thursday night, a 40% chance of showers, some thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 67 on Thursday evening. That 40% chance of rainfall continues in the urban Urbana-Champaign area on Friday. We'll have mostly cloudy skies, a high of 84 degrees, and Friday night, more rainfall set at 70% by then, mostly cloudy and 66, and then back to sunny skies on Saturday and 73, sunny on Sunday and 72, and Monday. Sunny and 73. Tuesday next week, sunny skies as well. 75 degrees, so we'll have some clear harvest conditions. If you're out on the roads, be careful because the combines will be moving and they move slow. This, of course, is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Find us online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Todd Gleason.